We're doing Medrash Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer. We're up to the 48th chapter, page Kuf Pei Zayin on the Eshkol editions, page Taf Mem Vav in the Zichron Aaron editions. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Kol otan ha-shanim shehayu Yisrael yoshevin b'Mitzrayim, yoshevin b'Betach She'anan. All the years that Israel were living in Egypt, things were going good for them. They weren't forced to work. They were living in confidence, peacefully. Everything was okay. They were given the responsibility to live in exile, so they lived that way. And they didn't transgress. They kept their end of the deal, and everything was okay. At Shabbat Yignon Mibnei Fanav Shelefraim. Until along came a leader. His name was Yignon. And he was from the descendants of Ephraim. And he came and said, God came and told me to lead you out of Egypt. What a liar. So they were proud, the family of Ephraim, because they were aristocracy. They came from the family of Yosef, from the family of the king. They were brave warriors. They stood up, grabbed their wives and kids, and left. And the Egyptians ran after them. Hey, what do you guys think you're doing? Killed them all. So you had 200,000 brave warriors from Ephraim. Wow! 200,000 were killed. 200,000 Jews, almost a quarter of a million Jews. So the Egyptians ran after them and killed them. And that's why it says that Hashem did not guide us out of Egypt through Philistine territory, even though it would be most natural to travel northward and enter Israel, because we'd see all the bones, 200,000 bones that were left there to rot, so that no Jew would ever try to go back up to Canaan. Those are the bones that Yechezkel is going to resuscitate. And it was then that the Egyptians started viewing us as a threat and said, lest the nation get up and leave, lest the nation join forces with our enemies. Well, they just killed a quarter of a million of our people. Of course they thought we were a threat. And that's when the servitude began, meaning until this point, we were sitting in confidence. Everything was okay. We knew we couldn't leave. The 400 years had to be up. We did ours, they did theirs, and everything was okay.
How many Jews were there at the time?
I don't know. Maybe 10 million? 15 million? I don't know.
I read that when the Polish had their war, their uprising, and they killed 100,000 Jews, that's when they established the fast day on Kafta Sivan. And they said, it says in Beryl Wine's book, that was the most Jews killed at one time until the Holocaust. Since, I don't know, the destruction of the temple.
Okay, interesting.
So it's a lot. And he's saying, it's like twice that amount, it's a ton.
Yeah. Rabbi Yanai Omer, Valo lo evidu mitzrayim et Yisrael el ha-sha achat miyomo shel ha-kadosh baruch hu. Rabbi Yanai says, you know how long the servitude was? It was 1 hour on God's time. 83 shanim ushlish shana ad shelon nolad Moshe. 83 and a third years, that's an hour in God's time. Because a day is 1,000 years, so now do the math. 24 hours. Do 1,000 divided by 24? No.
God's above time, no?
Yeah.
Unless 24 by 1,000?
1,000 divided by 24? No.
1,000 divided by 24.
Four point something.
1,000.
No.
40 point something.
Okay, let's see.
Divided
out. Calculator.
1,000.
41.666. Something, a few sixes and seven.
That's why they say 40 point something.
1,000 divided by 24. Estimation of them. Let's do differently. We have, how much is it? 1,000 years. No. 1 second. A day in our time, we say a day by Hashem is 1,000 years. So a day has 24 hours. So 1,000 years divided by 24 is how much? 1,000 divided, how do we do this? Divided by?
Don't you have to multiply 1,000 times?
I don't know how to use this calculator. Divided by 24 equals 41.666. So what's that? 1 hour, it says it should be 41 and a third hours. So how does that work here? 41 years should be, right? So how does that work?
Or you round it up to 42.
So he said a day is 1,000. And a day, because that's a day without the night. So it's divided by 12. That's how you end up with 83. Got it. Because it's a day without the night. It's divided by 12. When a day is 1,000 years, that's a day without the night. So it's 1,000 divided by 12. Yeah.
It's 80 points.
1,000 divided by 12 equals 83.3. Yeah. So that's what the Medrash says. Yeah.
For Hashem, it's 2,000 years.
Right. Okay. Right. So when it says 1 hour from the days of Hashem, 83 and a third years before Moshe was born. The sorcerer said to Pharaoh, there's going to be a child born. He's going to take the Jews out of Egypt. And so he thought, he said to himself, okay. He told the people, throw all the male children into the Nile. And he will go with them. Shneimar, as the verse says, why does it say tashlichuhu? It says every male child that was born, you should throw him into the Nile. Okay. Should have just said, throw into the Nile. What does it mean, throw him into the Nile? The idea was, we're trying to get one him. There's one. And if we do that, we'll be able to know this this terrible vision that we have of a Redeemer being born. This all began 3 1/3 years before Moshe was born. After he was born, the sorcerers came and said, okay, the Redeemer was born, but we can't see him. He said, okay. So then you can stop throwing the kids into the Nile. But give them hard work to make their father's lives bitter. Rabbi Netanel says, Moshe's fathers saw that Moshe looked like an angel.
What? So that's what you said.
Yeah. So they circumcised him when he was 8 days old. V'karu shemo Yekutiel, and they named him Yekutiel. That's Moshe's name. His real name is Yekutiel. What?
I thought it was Tuvia.
Yeah, his real name is Tuvia. Yeah. He has seven names. Moshe Rabbeinu has seven names.
I didn't know that.
Yekutiel, Tuvia, Yered, Avigador. Seven names. Okay, back to our...
These are middle names?
I don't know. Avizanoach. It's a bunch of names. Half hour ago.
No, seriously.
Come on, sir. Yeah. Okay. Something like that. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Tov Karuto. Rabbi Shimon says they named him Tov. Sheneemar Vaterotto Ki Tovu. That's what it says. She saw him that he was Tov, so they named him Tov. So they hid him underground for 3 days, for 3 months. As the verse says, she hid him for 3 months. After 3 months, she couldn't hide him anymore, So she put him in a casket, she put him in some kind of box in the Nile. V'akol tzafui lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Hashem has everything envisioned already. V'ayta avatya bat parom nugat bin gaim kashim. So Pharaoh's daughter was covered with terrible spots of leprosy. V'lo ayta yichola lichotz b'chamin. She couldn't wash herself with warm water because of all her skin conditions. V'yareda la'yirchotz b'yor. So she went down to wash herself by the Nile. V'rata na'or boche. And she saw the lad crying. V'shalcha yadav echzika bo v'nitrapa'a. So she extended her hand and lifted him up, and he urinated on her, and she was cured. So when she lifted him and she was cured, she said, "This child is righteous." Doesn't say what I said about urinating on him.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, right.
Why did I say that? Because that's an ancient Taimani Yemenite midrash, and that's what it says. But okay, this midrash didn't say that. This midrash just says she lifted him and she got cured. So she said, "This child's a tzaddik." So she saved them for life. Anyone who saves any Jew, the Gemara in Sanhedrin says, it's as though they saved the whole world, like the Mishnah says in Sanhedrin. Why did Hashem start the world with one human being? So the Gemara, Mishnah has a few reasons. One of them is that we should appreciate the greatness of each human being. Each human being has the potential for bringing about a whole world, because the whole world started from one Adam. So that's the idea. So,
how come it's only one Jew?
It's a good question. It's an excellent question. Did you learn Kuzari?
Yes, for a long time ago.
Okay, so one day we have to come back to that question. V'chol ha-me'abed nefesh echad mi'Yisrael kiru me'abed olam mele. And if someone loses a soul of Israel, it's as though he lost a whole world. And that's why the daughter of Pharaoh merited that she would cling under the wings of the Shekhinah. And that's why she got the name Bat Yo, the daughter of the omnipresent. And all of Pharaoh's politicians, those that were in the castle, they would bring him up. As the verse says, he grew up. And then he went out to see his brothers. So he grew up, he grew big, and he grew up. So the Medrash says, what does it mean? Vaygdal Moshe vayetze el Echav. The first part of the Pasuk is defined by the second part of the Pasuk. Beautiful Medrash. Vaygdal Moshe. Moshe grew big. How so? Vayetze el Echav. By going out to his brothers. People think they're big, so you have a lot of people like that. We had a person like that here. He won the lottery, and suddenly he didn't know anyone, none of his neighbors. It was like, I don't know you. He'd meet them at affairs, at weddings and stuff, and he was too pompous because he was so wealthy now, so he wouldn't have anything to do with his neighbors. And everyone looked at him, what a bum. Now that he has all this wealth, he doesn't know us, but that's what he did. That's what he did. Vayigdal Moshe here in Israel. Vayigdal Moshe. The Medrash says, "What's the greatness of Moshe? He's in the castle. He's considered the king's son." Vayitzei lechav. His greatness is that he's still connected. He's still connected. He goes out to see how his brothers are doing. That's Vayigdal Moshe. Now the end of that story was super interesting. The wealth destroyed him. His children went against him, sued him for his wealth. His wife divorced him, sued him for his wealth. And not too long after the whole story, he found himself back penniless after all the lawsuits with his own kids. He lost his family, lost his wealth, and couldn't go back to the old neighborhood because no one would look him in the face. Like now he was, you know. He was back to square one, only worse, because he had lost it all.
Yeah.
That was, a terrible story.
Test of money in it.
Yeah. Vayigdal Moshe vayitze lechav. So Moshe is brought up in Pharaoh's castle. ויצא משה במחנה ישראל וראה מצרי שכאחד בני הקהתי שהיה מחב משבט לוי. Moshe sees an Egyptian beating up one of Moshe's relatives, one of the descendants of Kehas. Now that's fantastic, because that means the Egyptian was beating up someone who wasn't even a worker. That's very different than the Medrash Rabbah that says that it was a worker, that it was Dasan after the Egyptian had schlepped him out to go work in the middle of the night. Totally different, Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer. So, Mei Echav, one of his brethren, so the Medrash Darshins, must be a close relative, must be a cousin from the descendants of Kehas. שנאמר ויריש מצרים מכה שברים מי אחיו, התחיל מקלל אותו, ונטל בחרב שפתיו והרגו. So he started cursing him, drew the sword of his mouth, and killed him. Okay. והרגו, תמנו בתוך מחנה ישראל, and he told the Jews, guys, this is our secret. שנאמר והתמינהו בחול, it says he hit him in the sand, ואין חול אלא ישראל. When it says hit him in the sand, it means he hit him among the Jews. So he told the Jews, hey guys, this is between us. He goes out the next day, sees the two brothers, Dasan and Aviram, fighting with one another. And so you see, the Pasuk says, he told the wicked one, why should you be hitting your friend who's as wicked as you? Amar lo Datan, atam bekesh laogti bechev shebficha kasher hargta et haMitzri. So Dasan says to him, you're going to kill me the same way you killed the Egyptian with that mouth of yours. Shneimar misamcha lishal v'shofet aleinu hal horgeni ata omer kasher hargta et haMitzri. Are you going to speak and kill me like you killed the Egyptian? וכשבאו משה ואהרן אצל פרעה ואמרו לו, כה אמר שם לכל ישראל שלחת מי ויעבדוני. And Moshe wasn't finished with Dasan and Aviram. When Moshe and Aaron came to Pharaoh and said, God said, send my nation, let them serve me. אמר להם פרעה, מי השם אשר שמע בקולו לשלחת ישראל, לא ידעתי את שם גם את ישראל לא השלח. So Pharaoh said, who's Hashem? Don't know him. I'm not listening. I don't know Hashem and I'm not sending the Jewish people. מיד השליח אהרן מטהו לפני פרעה ונעשה נחש שרף. Right away, what does Aaron do? Throws the staff before Paro. The staff turns into a serpent. Miyad karaf ro lechatumim yishlich matam nasun chashim srafim. So right away, Paro calls his sorcerers. They throw their stick. It becomes a serpent. Miyad ratz matei Aaron uvalana matotam. So Aaron's staff runs over to their staff. Aaron's serpent runs over to theirs. Swallows up their staff. Shneimav vayivlam matei Aaron matotam. As it says, Aaron's staff swallowed theirs. Ichnis yadol chikov otziam tzvat kashalek. Stuck his hand into his garment, pulled it out, and it's white as snow. וגם הכניסו ידם חיקם והוציאו אותם צורת כשלג. So, Pharaoh says, guys, you do that. So they do the same thing, stick their hand into their cloak, pull it out, and it's white. וכל מכה ומכה שהביא הקדוש ברוך הוא למצרים במצרים יושים גם הם כן. Every plague, the sorcerers would do the same. עד שהביא הקדוש ברוך הוא עליהם תשכים ולא יכלו לעשות כן. Till Hashem brought the boils on them. That they couldn't replicate. שנאמר, ולא יכלו החרטומים לעמוד לפני משה מפני השכין. It says, when it came to the שכין, to the boils, they couldn't stand before Moshe. רבי עקיבא אומר, סינקלי תורי פרעה היו מחניקים את ישראל בקירות הבית בין לובן הלבנים. סינקלי תורי פרעה. Pharaoh's advisors would choke the Jews in the walls of the house, and they would stick in people in the mortar. לפיכך היו צועקים מתוך הקירות. So people were stuck, built into the walls, and they'd call out from within the walls, והקדוש ברוך הוא שמע את נעקתם. Hashem heard their cry, שנאמר וישמע אלוקים נעקתם, ויזכור אלוקים בריתו. As it says, Hashem heard their cry, and he remembered his covenant. ועוד צופים פניהם בחור שלש. And they would throw their children as feed for the fire, when they needed fire, the fire to burn to make the bricks, they throw their children into the fire. Shneimal, the verse says, it says Hashem took you out of the furnace of Egypt. What does that mean? It means there were literally children being thrown into the furnace as feed for the fire. So Hashem paid them back and killed their firstborn. Shneimal, makim tzayim bivchorehim. When the Jews left Egypt, what did Hashem do? All their idols were thrown and broken. Shneimar ve'lohem asa Hashem shvatim. Rabbi Yossi omer ayu ha-mitzrim tamim tisrevet nishem imam. Rabbi Yossi says the Egyptians would defile the Jewish men and the Jewish women with them. Oh boy, according to this medrash, imagine what they were doing. Teida lecha shebem menoshe Dan asa isha mishivto shma shlomit bativri. I'll prove it, says the medrash. Dan's grandson married a woman from his own tribe named Shlomit Bativri. Uvoto laila ba'olenu k'sefaru v'algul v'ala v'arata. That night, Paro's tax collectors came, killed him, and she got pregnant. Where'd she get pregnant from? Not from her husband, from the tax collectors. And everything goes after the seed. Sweet produces sweet, bitter produces bitter. So when we left Egypt, we find him blaspheming. Rabbi Shmuel omer, chamesh etzbot sheyimino shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kulan yesod gulot. Okay, now we're entering secrets of the Torah. So I guess we'll do that a different time.
Definitely the right time of night to be doing secrets of Torah. You said staff and not staff.